WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yeah, this is Broken Not Haughty. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
And welcome to the Rock Extra Reviews right here on WildTalkRadio.com. He's Rock, I'm Lindsay, and we're back. Yes, we're here with the SummerSlam results. I know this is a little out of the norm. I know we normally save this kind of stuff for the regular show, but you know what? Fortnite is dropping a brand new season. There is a pay-per-view the week after SummerSlam. We're going to have a lot to talk about, and rather than do another marathon four-hour show, we're just going to put the SummerSlam results on its own show because it makes sense, right?
Right.
So that's what we're here to do. So you guys get them a whole day-ish early, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's great. It's fantastic. You all should be blessed. Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed.
Also, use credit code ROCKETSECOND to Fortnite item shop. When the new season of Fortnite drops, hashtag add, hashtag get my partner.
Yes, because we will be talking about it on the regular show, which is Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And if you're listening to this after the regular show airs, well, you can listen to it on the VOD on WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or on Twitch. In the VOD section. So, alright, we're going to jump into SummerSlam. We're going to talk about it. It is the biggest party of the summer. You're never going to see it coming. And yes, y'all, they maybe kind of did some major angles. They did at least one for sure on this show. So we definitely want to talk about that. And we have to talk about really the biggest, one of the biggest stories coming out of SummerSlam, which is the fact that this was Renee Young's final show, her final appearance with WWE. She was on the pre-show, so we did get to say goodbye to Renee, and they gave her a very nice send-off with the company. So sad to see her go, but I'm sure she's going to move on to far better and bigger things.
Yeah, she's going to have, she still has some sort of deal with Fox, so she's going to, think up here on some sort of Fox show going forward. Who knows, maybe it's an updated version of WWE Backstage and she'll appear at some point there talking about WWE. She went on the Players Tribune and posted a fantastic goodbye message to the WWE Universe, to all her friends, to Vince McMahon, to Triple H, to Stephanie. It's very well done. She summed up her 8 years in WWE. You can look at it for it on the Players Tribune. But yeah, it's sad to see her go. But she accomplished a lot. I mean, everyone says, oh, they held her down. No, she did everything you can possibly imagine in that company. She had her own show, Talking Smack. She met her husband. She was a play-by-play announcer commentator for NXT. She was the first female full-time commentator on Monday Night Raw for a few months which she tells the story how she found out 2 weeks before it was going to happen. It's like, oh, wait, I wasn't angling. What?
Okay.
Coach is not there. What?
She was the first female commentator in Saudi Arabia. She was, I think, the first female commentator for wrestling in the Garden. She had her own Fox show. She kind of took being a backstage female interviewer, which is what she started as, to the next level. And she kind of opened a lot of doors for a lot of the other backstage interviewers in that company to give them a more versatile role, because they're usually just relegated to standing there holding a microphone, right? Like, that's all they do. And you might be able to be a ring announcer and you might be in an angle, but now they have the choices of they can have their own show on the network after the pay-per-views. You know, Kayla Braxton does the bump.
And now Talking Smack.
And now Talking Smack. So Renee helped to open a lot of those doors for all the commentators in the company to be able to have options and extend their roles beyond just standing there holding a microphone. Joining me at this time. Boom.
Tell me about this.
And you look very shocked when somebody gets attacked, even though they've been standing there for 10 minutes right off camera. So.
But she had a really good shock face, so it worked for her.
It did work for her. I mean, but then again, I'm sure she gets a lot of practice with it, considering who she's married to.
And she also had a breakout role on the JBL and Cole show, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she did. I feel like that's kind of what put her on the map in the company as far as being able to extend her role, was being on the JBL and Cole show.
Yeah, and Michael Cole did a lot for her, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
For all the crap the internet gives us, we give Michael Cole. He is really good at bringing in people and helping them, mentoring them, etc., etc.
Yeah. So goodbye, Renee. We will miss you. Happy trails and best of luck in your future endeavors. And enjoy your time at home, because you've earned it. So, tear, sad face, moment of silence. Okay, moving on. Your one and only match on the pre-show was the United States Championship was on the line as Apollo Crews took on MVP. This was okay. This was better than the last match they had. I will give them that.
It's an MVP match on pay-per-view in 2020. It is what you would expect. It was solid wrestling. He had a hard time keeping up with Apollo, and Apollo is really good.
Yeah, Apollo is absolutely fantastic in the ring. But this was a better contest between the two. Crews had a successful defense. He defeated MVP when he delivered the toss powerbomb. And, well, after the match, Shelton Benjamin and Bobby Lashley tried to beat down Apollo Crews, but he escaped and he ran off with his life. So Crews stands tall with the title, and MVP is left frustrated.
He was very frustrated on this night. Very frustrated.
So your opening contest for SummerSlam on the main show was Asuka versus Bayley. Match one of two for Asuka tonight. This was for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Sasha was at ringside. She did play a factor in this match, which we all figured she would. This had a great build. This had a great just overall feeling to it. And then we got to the match, and God, this was so good.
This match was very enjoyable. You had everything you would expect. You had Sasha interference at certain points, but some really good work between Bayley and Asuka. And they tore the house down. There was a hot opener for the show. The match ended when Asuka was going for the hip attack. Bayley moved. Sasha ate it, allowing Bayley to get up the win.
I feel like I need more Bayley-Asuka. I don't think we've had it enough. I don't know. Was this the first time they wrestled, or they wrestled before?
They wrestled the previous week on Raw. That's how Sasha got her title shot.
That's right.
It's been a while since the two of them went one-on-one, except for these two matches we've just seen. So it's like they fought in NXT, and they had really good matches down there. And now back on the main roster. This is the first time I think they've been on the same brand. Actually, they're not actually technically on the same brand. But Bayley's now working on Raw, and they can truly have some matches together.
Yeah, so more Bayley Asuka for 2020-2021. Let's go for that.
Give them a real one-on-one, Asuka only having one match in the night, 20-minute match, and let them tear the house down for a title.
Agreed. So Bayley defeats Asuka, which leaves Sasha Banks there to possibly make it a clean sweep. We see Bayley and Sasha backstage with Charlie. She's doing an interview, and Bayley has her broom as Sasha goes off to get ready for her match. And Bayley's like, we're going to make it a clean sweep.
That was great. Also, I love that they had a ring set up backstage for interviews.
That was good. That was really good.
Okay, so let's talk about it. Like, the setup. The building was so bright. This entire show felt like a WWE pay-per-view again. First time since the Elimination Chamber. First real excitement in a building since then. And it was fantastic. It elevated everything you saw on this show.
Just like we said on the show on Monday for Raw, just the scale and the set and the lights and the pyro and everything. This was a step towards returning towards normalcy. And this felt so right and so good. I know some people are not a fan of it. They don't really like it that much. But I think overwhelmingly, the feeling of it is positive. The LED screens behind the ring were dimmed a little bit, possibly because of the lighting and also possibly because they did tone them down slightly. But they were not as distracting. But just to have the fans there, just to see everybody, even if they were only on video, back behind the ring and they were cheering and, you know, everybody was rooting for their favorites. No offense to the Canada NXT audience. That just made all the difference, because the thing is you saw the talent respond to that. You saw them react in a way that we haven't seen them react in about 5 months, because they know that they're back in front of a crowd. They know the fans are watching. They know they're playing to the fans, and they can hear them, I think.
Yeah, you can.
So they're all about that, and that's just helping to make the matches feel better. Because we can hear the fans, we can see the fans, and the wrestlers are responding to that, and it's just everything. Like, it's so much better.
It is. All right, we need to go back really quick to the pre-show and the pre-show match. Because there was something you wanted to mention in the recap that I just remembered afterwards. MVP's breathing strip.
Apollo Crews beat him so bad he knocked the breathing strip off him.
There you go. I wanted to make sure we got that in the show.
It was... That officially replaces Government Mule. Beat him so hard he knocked the breathing strip off. Doesn't have the same ring, but, you know, we can work on it. We can tweak it. It's fine. So up next, we have the Raw Tag Team Championship on the line as the Street Profits are taking on Andrade and Angel Garza with Zelina Vega.
All the solo cups in the world.
There were some frat houses that were very, very sad by how many solo cups got wasted, because they had the big ones and they had the little shot ones too. People were crying. I know for a fact people were crying. But we weren't crying over Kevin Owens, because Kevin Owens showed up with his tie.
Yeah, it did.
To join everybody at commentary, because, you know, he wanted to root for the Profits. He wanted to be out there. He wanted to, you know, be a part of the show, because it's SummerSlam.
My favorite line was from his commentary, and it's when Dawkins got tagged in and he was moving around in the ring. He goes, "Dawkins, I'm wearing your shirt." It was a great line.
It's like, I picked it up. I'm wearing your shirt. And there's like a thumbs up. It's adorable. So this, as we expected, was a really good match. There was a lot of fantastic back and forth. Obviously, heels will be heels. And they tried to isolate people. And, you know, they tried to cheat. And Zelina kind of got involved, but didn't get involved.
But she did. She caused the finish. She got knocked off the apron. And then Andrade was checking on her. And Garza then was left to fend for himself. And then Andrade was late to break up the pin on the Frog Splash. You know, that's how it goes. Street Profits retain.
So, yay! Zelina looked really good. She was a character from Overwatch. So, yeah. I enjoyed this. I thought this was great. I'm completely happy that the Street Profits retained. And yeah, it's leading to problems between Garza, Andrade, and Zelina.
As we documented on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. So, we'll have to see where that goes. Up next, I think I know the stip to this match. It's changed about 40 times since we actually did the pick 'em for it.
Yeah.
And that is Mandy Rose versus Sonya Deville in what was supposed to be a hair versus hair match, and it instead got changed to a no DQ loser leaves WWE match.
So, gonna skip to the end, and then we'll hit some stuff that through the match. Mandy won.
Mandy won.
So the reason why the stipulation was changed, and I speculated about this on Sunday, and it sort of come out, this is the actual reason why, and it makes the most sense. she's dealing with a lot of court stuff right now.
Yeah,
she's
so they wrote her off TV.
It's not only that. That's one. But number two, it wouldn't make sense for her to go to court one week with long hair and then the next week with shaved head. And you have to explain to the judge, yes, it was a wrestling thing. That sort of just doesn't
work. Well, I mean, that's why God invented wigs, but...
But that way it would look weird. You would all know it's a wig.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying.
But yeah, it was more with the court stuff that the stipulation was changed to that. So this was...
And it makes sense that they did that. It's very nice that they did that for her, so that way she didn't have to shave her head for all the court stuff. And they're obviously writing her off to give her time to deal with not only the court stuff, but also the attack that they both had to endure because they were both at the house when the creep showed up to kidnap Sonya Deville. So I'm sure they're both very shaken by it.
Oh, yeah. So getting into the match, I'll describe this one as the way I did. Mandy's performance was good, but it also reminded me of early day Trish Stratus when she was first starting to really break out as a performer, where it always wasn't great, but the effort was there. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, they went for it. Like, Mandy was delivering running knee after running knee at one point. You know, we had a face buster. We had more knees. Like, I think we had chairs at one point in this match. We had tables.
Oh, tables. The cameras did not do her favors with the tables.
No, they didn't do her any favors.
She struggled setting up the table.
Yeah, the girl. They need to give a class to the girls on how to set up a table. Because I feel like they don't know how to do this. Because they don't do it enough.
But she said it, she opened it fine, she just had problems lifting the table.
I know that, because it's too big. Like, it's too wide. Like, it's difficult to handle. Because the guys, they can just, you know, they have the arm span, right, to pick those things up and flip them over. The girls don't necessarily have the arm span to be able to handle those, a la Alexa Bliss. Like, it's bigger than her, right? So what's she supposed to do? So they could maybe help the girl. I don't know. They could maybe, like, put little grippies or something for the girls. I don't know.
That said, they had a very unique table spot. Where,
they did.
Where Mandy is sliding the tables at Sonya, trying to knock her head off. I don't think I've ever seen that before. That was clever.
It was different.
Yeah, I liked it.
I'm kind of here for that, honestly. I do have to say, just from a gear standpoint, I was not a fan of Mandy's gear. I didn't like it.
Okay, good. I didn't like it either.
And the wet hair was... like she was trying to be a sexy version of Otis. It was weird.
So some people were saying she looked like Sharon Stone.
I could see that.
With the hair. With the slick
with
back
the hair.
Yeah, but the gear did her no favors.
I mean, I could see how you could get a Basic Instinct vibe off that, but like the bottoms, especially because she was essentially wearing a singlet, except she had a gold tube top on, but the singlet was like white. So, and it had longer legs as I recall. So like it just proportionally looked very odd on her. Like it wasn't bad. It was just, it looked strange. It was not her best look, essentially.
Like, from what I hear, sometimes when she designs her own gear, it always doesn't come out the best. Like,
it was very plain.
Yeah. Like, she had this the number at WrestleMania which was really all gold, and it looked like similar to what she was wearing at SummerSlam, and it just doesn't... It didn't do her favors. Like, she needs to stick to basic gear. Like, I know she's trying other things, but it's like, okay, this is going to come out wrong, but this is the way it's going to be. She brings the sex appeal, but sometimes her gear does not amplify that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And there's a way to do the gear where she looks really, really good, and you have that quote-unquote sex appeal, but it's not all sex appeal like it used to be. Like, basically, Eva Marie's gear, just because she's the kind of the basis of comparison, was all sex appeal, right? Like, mm-hmm. That's why it was there, is it showed as much as they could possibly get away with showing. And Mandy had gear like that for a long time, and she's kind of gotten away from it. And she's going in a different direction with it, which is completely fine, because it's like, especially for the girls, they have to be really careful with their gear because you don't want to cause an FCC violation. So, because, you know, you don't want to have a incident.
Yeah.
So I get it. Like, I understand. But it's like, it just, to me, it was not her best look. I think she's worn and had nicer things
mm-hmm.
that flattered her better.
Oh, yeah.
So that's just me. But in the end, like we said, Mandy Rose defeats Sonya Deville, and Sonya is out of WWE for the time being. Up next, the feud that will never, ever, ever end.
It is that song that just never, ever ends. Some people start, anyway, not knowing what it, anyway. So yeah. It was great to see father and mother bring their son to school.
Oh my god.
He had his backpack. We wondered if he had a packed lunch or anything.
He was wearing a blue polo and khaki.
He was set for school.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to make fun of it. I really don't mean to make fun of it. But, like, they rolled up, right? And Ray's Ray, and he's dressed, and you see his wife, and she's looking great. She's in a designer blouse and skirt and heels. She's got her hair and makeup all done. And then here comes Dominic, right? In a blue polo shirt with his backpack and his khakis. And I'm just sitting here like, why? Why would you wear that? Why? You wear like jeans and t-shirts. Why would you wear that? It's like, please don't take me back to that little 9-year-old boy with his bleached hair on SmackDown where he was on a pole between his one dad and his other dad.
Yeah.
Like, don't take me back to that place. Please don't take me back to that place. So, but yeah, so he changed and he put on his gear, which I didn't really get to talk about it on Monday, and I want to talk about it here. Dominic had really nice gear. He obviously, they spent some money to get it made for him. My one critique of it is this. I wish that the jacket thing, the top that he wears, came off and he had another layer underneath it. And this is why. The hood bothers me.
It bothered a lot of people.
Like it feels really dangerous that he's wrestling in a hoodie essentially, because it's like it could get caught on something, it could hit somebody, it could do something. So it's like I just kind of feel like, at least for me, that he not have the hoodie and everything would be fine. But it's his gear, it's his choice. He does what he wants. So he faced the Monday Night Messiah in a street fight. This got ultra kinky, ultra fast. Seth is just repressed, man. Seth needs some loving. That's the only thing I can figure. The poor man is just, he's got some pent up something. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I will say this, for Dominic's first match, this was good. This was very good. Seth did a great job of carrying him through, walking him through it. Ray did a great job of getting him through it. Murphy did a great job of getting him through it. He showed a lot of athletic prowess. And like we said on Monday, if you tuned into the Rob Post show, they can knock the rough edges off of Dominic. They've got something on their hands. He is extremely athletic. He knows he knows his way around a ring. He's just doesn't have that polish to him, if that makes sense. And that just simply comes from experience and training.
This is his first official match.
And in comparison to other first official matches that I've seen, this was great.
So this past weekend, we had two really good first time matches. Pat McAfee was one, and Dominic was number two, and I would think Dominic had the better performance, but he's more of a trained wrestler than Pat McAfee. A couple things from this match that we need to talk about. One, Seth Rollins taunting Rey Mysterio throughout this match. He was like, come on, Papa, you don't want to help? Like, he was taunting him the entire time. And there was a line in this, it's like, I think the quote was, are you sure this is your son, not Uncle Eddie's?
They finally went there!
Seth Rollins finally went there, yeah.
Took them forever to get there, but it's like, because we're all waiting for it. And it's like, they finally did it. They finally went there. It's like, yes!
It's like, about damn time.
Yeah, when Ray's wife walked out, it was like, Mom, no. Mom, please don't get involved in this. I don't need to watch Mrs. Mysterio lose her eyeball. Please don't do this. But also at the same time, it's like, y'all need to run, because she's going to throw her shoe at you in a second.
So there was good story throughout where Dominic ever kept telling Ray, stay away, stay away, stay away, don't get involved. Ray would eventually get involved. There was a cool spot, the Russian leg sweep through the table with the kendo stick.
That was nice.
That was nice. Dominic showed a lot of skill in this matchup. Again, as we mentioned, a little bit of green. There were some handcuffs where Rey Mysterio got handcuffed to the rope, and he's like, he's struggling to get to his boy.
Rollins is taunting him the whole time.
But in the end, As Ray tries to reach out for his son, Rollins hits the stomp, Dominic gets pinned, then Seth Rollins drops the key in front of Dominic as he's laid out. And then the family hugged.
I thought this was great storytelling. I thought this was very well done. I think this is one of the better matches that they've had in this feud. That being said, I really hope that this feud kind of comes to an end soon. But
she told a joke.
Putting that out in the universe, hoping it'll happen. But yeah, I mean, I thought this was great. There was a chorus of boos when Rollins won, which was appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot of negatives about this match, which was good. I kind of cut this match a lot of slack because it's like, one, it's Dominic's first match and you just don't want to be overly critical of it. Because this whole time, we know he's been training, but we don't know to what level he's been trained.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously enough that they're comfortable putting him in the ring and letting him wrestle a match, right?
Like, on SummerSlam. It's not Backlash, it's not Payback, it's SummerSlam.
It's SummerSlam, so there is that comfort level there with him, so it's obvious that he has the skill set. But it's just the question of, you know, when you get him in the ring and you get him in front of a semi-live crowd and, you know, you get the cameras on, what is he going to do? And so we got to see what he could do, you know? And I, like I said, if they can get the rough edges off and they can get that polish on him, they've got a star in the making. Absolutely have a star in the making. Moving on. Two of two. Sasha Banks versus Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship. Can Asuka regain the title that she originally lost to Sasha Banks because Bayley beat up Kairi Sane? The answer to that question is a resounding yes.
So, this matchup was really good. Sasha Banks and Asuka together are fantastic. We need to see more of it at mm-hmm. some point in a longer version. Not what they did on Monday, because that was just sort of there. We need a full-on match between the two. Because, you know, reasons. That said, what happened in the first match didn't quite happen in the second one. When it was Bayley's turn to take the bullet, she didn't take the bullet.
Bayley flinched. She didn't help Sasha the way that Sasha helped Bayley. And in the end, Sasha ends up tapping out to Asuka. And she loses the Raw Women's Championship, which of course causes tension between Bayley and Sasha. Because it's like, hey, wait a minute, I did the thing for you, why couldn't you do the thing for me?
Yeah.
And there's a little resentment between the Golden Role Models because of it. So we're teasing that breakup, we're building that again, where...
The frustrations are there.
Where Sasha was riding high, and Bayley didn't back her up, and here we are. So I'm okay with this, I'm completely fine with it, and, you know, Asuka winning the title back? I'm good with that. So good.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Who gets Asuka? Who's ready for Asuka?
That's a very good question.
Moving on, she says. I feel like I'm saying moving on a lot tonight. I don't have another word, phrase, whatever for it.
As we transition into our next contest.
There we go. There it is. So professional. Going to the next match. The WWE Championship is on the line. As Drew McIntyre takes on Randy Orton for the title, there is no stipulation. This is straight up. This was a great match, in my opinion. Orton is hitting his stride right now and is really into what he's doing. And so because he's into what he's doing, everything he's doing is top-notch and good.
Edge coming back brought the best out of Randy Orton. Randy Orton finally had a peer he respects enough to bring out the best in him. And he's been given the freedom to do a lot of things. It is now transitioned over to his feud with Drew McIntyre, where Randy Orton is on top of his game. There is no, when Randy Orton is motivated, he is the best wrestler in the company. There are a lot of times he just goes through the motions. He chin locks you to death.
Mm-hmm.
This was not. He had his working shoes on this show. He went full board. He was there to help elevate Drew McIntyre and at the same time get himself over. And both men had a tremendous performance on this show, which is no real surprise. And the finish, we never saw coming. A backslide out of nowhere. They went to hit their finishes. They missed. But Drew McIntyre hit a backslide to retain his WWE championship.
And Randy was shocked. He was stunned. He didn't even get to RKO anybody. He was upset about that. But Drew celebrates in the ring as he is victorious over Randy Orton, and he gets to retain his title. I thought it was a really clever finish. I liked how they did it. It played perfectly into the tagline, which they really hadn't used all night. So I'm glad that at least one match played into the tagline, because that's important. So, yeah, but I liked this match. I thought it was very good. Like I said, both men were on top of their games. Randy is just doing wonderful things right now. I hate that I like Randy Orton right now, but he's just really doing fantastic work, and you can't not like it.
Legend killer Randy Orton is the best Randy Orton.
Yep, kind of is. Yep, always kind of was.
Yeah. All right, it's time to get to our main event for the WWE Universal Championship in what was now told to us as a Falls Count Anywhere match.
I like how we picked this on Thursday, and we're like, this has no stip, which is really weird. It should have a stip. And then Friday on SmackDown, they put a stip on it. Or actually, no, I'm sorry. Friday on SmackDown,
I had to pick.
Ran the angle that they did on SmackDown, and then Saturday morning, they put the stip on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, God damn it. What are you guys doing? Can you just do it? Just do the thing. I just have to tell you that this whole thing gave me anxiety. Just so much anxiety, especially when they put the Falls Count Anywhere on their stip, like, or stip on there. Because I was like, for sure on Friday, it's like, okay, it's a regular match. Bray has to win, right? Like, by default, Bray has to win. Because if you have Braun beat The Fiend, what does that do to The Fiend?
Mm-hmm.
He's already lost once to Goldberg, so you're going to tell me that this iteration of Braun Strowman is more powerful than The Fiend? I don't think so. It's just that's not how that order goes. So it's like in a regular match, it makes sense that The Fiend is just going to come out, murder Braun Strowman, take his title and leave. Okay, great. Perfect. Then they put the Falls Count Anywhere stipulation on there, and I'm sitting here and I'm like...
She was in a panic. Crap. She was worried.
I was legit worried because it's like something's going... They're going to screw Bray. They're going to screw Bray. That's what they're going to do. This is how they're going to get out of it, and they're going to keep the title on Strowman, is something's going to happen to The Fiends. The Strowman is going to do something to The Fiend that allows him to pick up the victory. Which is fine if they can figure out a good way to do it. You know, throw him in a trash compactor or something. Because that's about the only way you can kill the bastard. I think. I mean, he got chucked off a loading dock and he was fine, so.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
In theory. But, like.
He was never normal to begin with, so, you know.
Yeah, and the guy that plays him isn't normal either. So, that's what I was thinking, and I had such, like, anxiety to the point that I almost changed my pick to Braun, because it's like, they're gonna screw Bray. They're going to do it. Like, that's how they're going to not put the title on Bray Wyatt. They're going to keep it on Braun Strowman, is they're going to use a stipulation as a way for Braun Strowman to beat Bray. Happily, that's not what happened. Bray Wyatt won the title. And these two had a way better match, thanks to the stipulation.
Oh, yeah.
If it had just been a straight-up wrestling match, it probably would not have been that entertaining, but they got to go all over the building. They broke a screen and Gorilla, which I'm sure everybody was super thrilled about.
They played with a toolbox.
They played with a toolbox. They beat each other down. There was, as I recall, was this the one with the awkward table shot? Or was that another match? Or was that Monday? Where somebody got thrown into the table and it didn't break.
No, Bray went on the table and it didn't break. He went back first on the table and it didn't break.
Yeah. So that looked painful hell.
He squared up the middle of his back, went right into the table.
Yeah. Yeah. He felt that Monday morning. Mm-hmm. You know, he felt that Monday morning. And in his frustration, as they're going back and forth and they're fighting and they're throwing each other into various objects, Braun breaks out a box cutter. And there's this really awkward moment in this match where you're sitting there and Bray's just laying face down, prone on the mat, right? Ass up, face down, prone on the mat. Braun's got a knife.
And we legitimately sat here going... What?
It's like, oh my god, is Braun gonna cut a bitch? Is that what he's gonna do?
Legitimately, we sat here going, is he gonna cut him? Is he legitimately gonna cut him? Is he gonna cut the mask off? What is he going to do with that knife?
Well, we found out. Braun cuts up the canvas.
Horribly. He cut it horribly. Horribly. He screwed up the finish because he cut it so bad.
And he takes the padding out, he takes the canvas out, he exposes the plywood underneath, and the Fiend gets up, and he delivers a Uranagi, and then a consecutive Sister Abigail's onto the exposed wood to beat Braun Strowman, right?
Okay, so I'm going to stop you there. Here's the problem with that. Bray Wyatt had to make sure he hit the plywood every time. Braun Strowman did not cut enough of the canvas apart to open up enough of the plywood for two big 300-pound men to land on. He opened up a tiny space when you needed to basically cut a majority of the top half of it off so you had places to, you know, land. So every time he hit the Sister Abigail, it looked really weird because Bray's trying to position him to make it look like he's hitting him on the boards instead of, you know, the canvas part. So the second one, in all of it, looked really awkward when he hit it. And I was like, oh, okay. Because he was trying his best to make sure we gotta hit it on the plywood. Which, you know, is awkward when it's not the biggest area to do it. Because we've seen people in the past, we've seen, like, prime examples, Impact and Bully Ray, he just ripped up the entire thing. Like, and they've done it in the past where you've ripped up part of the canvas and you've ripped up half the side of the ring. This was a quarter, maybe even a little bit less. And then didn't come off as well.
Yeah. Finish was awkward. I was happy for all of 2.5 seconds because I'm going to get into what happened after the match here in a second. I just want to make this comment, and this is not meant to be derogatory at all, but can we get Bray Wyatt some better pants, please? He was having pant issues in this match. He had to make a very awkward adjustment on camera. He was screaming while doing it. I had concerns that he had gotten something stuck in something
she
else.
Did. She legitimately did. It just made me choke on my water when she did it.
So can we just get Bray Wyatt some better Fiend pants things, please? So he doesn't have to do awkward adjustments on camera. That'd be great. So after the match, Bray is standing tall. He's reunited with his baby. All is right in Bray Wyatt's world until out of nowhere,
You never saw it coming.
You never saw him coming. Roman Reigns comes flying at Bray Wyatt's face and spears him into tomorrow, and then he basically takes a chair and just unleashes hell on Braun Strowman, to which he yells at Bray, and I take issue with this, you're just a freak in a mask, and he takes the Universal Championship in his hand, and he says, I run this bitch, as he stands tall to close out the show.
Wreck havoc or something and leave, or something to that effect, was this t-shirt.
It's very heel-tweener, Shield-esque Roman that we saw, which if that's the Roman we're going to get, okay.
That's fine.
I'm fine with that.
Before you go on, y'all better listen to me more often because I told you he was coming back.
Yeah.
I did warn everyone. Roman Reigns is coming back. I did. Also, on the TakeOver show, because it was on the show we learned Keith Lee was coming to Monday Night Raw, I predicted that too.
Do you feel better?
And I'm just pointing these things out.
I mean, he has to gloat.
I have to. When I get things right, you know, I'm allowed to gloat. So that's what I'm doing. I did tell you Roman was coming back, and I told you it'd be soon. It happened at SummerSlam. Now Lindsay's going to tell you why she hates that Roman Reigns is back.
I don't hate that Roman Reigns is back. I'm happy that Roman Reigns is back. I feel like the product has needed Roman Reigns for about 6 weeks now. So the fact that he's back on the show is a great sign. And I have a theory. I think, one, they made the environment comfortable enough for him to come back to.
Bigger building, spread out.
Better testing, better safety, all of that stuff. But also, we're seeing a lot of people that were out because of COVID now coming back. And I think there was a very gentle nudge from WWE, or it could have been a very forceful nudge, we don't know, that basically was like, hey, we need you to come back to work. Like, we respect your decision to stay away, and we didn't need you at the Performance Center. We need you here. Because now we're running the Amway Center. We have skin in this game. We're paying for this building, and we're going to be here till October. So, you know, come do the thing, please.
Mm-hmm.
Because we saw Kevin Owens come back again. We saw Roman Reigns come back. Tommaso Ciampa's coming back.
I would expect, Here's another one. A beast may be returning soon to...
Op ratings?
Might help a little with the ratings, and there's a crowd again of some sort.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised that a beast returns.
Yeah, they're bringing their big names back, they're bringing their big stars back because they need them. Here is my issue with this, because I do have an issue.
Yeah, this is why she's not a big fan of it.
My concern is that they're going to feed the Fiend to Roman Reigns, and they're going to sacrifice the Fiend to Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already said that for Payback, which is Sunday, there's going to be a triple threat between Roman, Bray, and Braun for the title. Which means, in theory, Roman could pin Braun, and the Fiend could lose the title. So the Fiend, in that instance, doesn't lose. He doesn't get pinned. And there's quotations with that, but he still loses the title after only having a week, which is kind of like, to me, it feels like, and I know it's not this, but it feels like a double middle finger. Like, oh, hey, Bray, thanks so much for, you know, working straight through the pandemic, you know, especially after your newborn child was born and, you know, all that, and coming up with these ultra creative matches and putting buzz around the company and creating a lot of really positive, you know, positive influence for the company and just doing everything that you've done. You know, that was great. That was awesome. Here's the title. Oh, hey, by the way, Roman's back. So F you, we're going to give it to him and you're going to lose it to him. It's like a hey, thanks for nothing kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what it feels like to me, is it just feels very cheap if that's what they're going to do. I'm not saying that's what they're going to do. But if they go there, I feel like it's just cheap. It's like, in that instance, you should have had Roman cost the Fiend the match, have the Fiend lose, Roman costs him, you go to Payback, Roman gets the title, and then you just have Roman and the Fiend feud for the title. Or you have the Fiend go off and lick his wounds, or something. It's not any better because it's going to hurt the Fiend. It's just, it's a no-win scenario based on the way that they've written it. But I'm just not a fan of the Fiend getting fed to Roman Reigns right away. That being said, I think they'll do, if they do a one-on-one feud, it'll probably be fantastic just between Funhouse Bray and Roman Reigns. Because if you know the history between Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns, they have a very long-standing love affair that's one-sided, where Bray Wyatt is in love with Roman Reigns because Roman is the one that got away, essentially, for Bray. You know, he got to Seth, he got to Dean, he never got to Roman. Like, he never, when they feuded that one time and Bray kind of went in for him, Roman was able to get away from him and not get taken down by him. So ever since then, Bray is always kind of like, regarded Roman, it feels like, as that one that got away. And I don't think they're going to get to do that here, just because they have a week. But let's see what they do after the pay-per-view to give it a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But I also just didn't... I didn't like this because you had Roman take out the Fiend. So basically you're saying that Roman Reigns is stronger than the Fiend.
Well, to be fair, the Fiend just went through a war.
The Fiend just went through a war, but the way that they've always presented the Fiend in the past is they've always booked him very strong. And basically, he's unkillable. He's unpinnable. He's undefeatable, right? Until Goldberg defeated him. And then he has a weakness, right? Which is, if you're... Basically, if you don't hide behind a mask or you're not a fraud, the Fiend has no power over you. That's what the Fiend's power is. But I didn't like Roman laying out the Fiend. I would have almost rather had, like, the Fiend get away and the title gets left. And Roman does what he does. But that's me personally. That being said, Roman back is a great thing for the company. It's a great thing for the product. It's going to bring interest back to the product that I feel like has not been there. I know a lot of people were really, really pissed that Alexa Bliss was not a part of this match, because I feel like when they put the Falls Count Anywhere in there, a lot of people were 100% sure that Alexa was going to show up.
Including her.
And that didn't happen, so nobody's really sure what's going on there. But I think it's actually better that she wasn't involved in this, just given the way that they did the match, because it wasn't that long. It wasn't a terribly long match. It was fairly involved. They kind of beat each other up a lot backstage and around the ring and everything.
It went about 12 minutes.
It wasn't long, but it was fine. For them, it was a good match based on just what I've seen with a cage match, which was not good. And so I'm curious to see where this goes. I'm actually excited to see where this goes, but I'm also really, really hesitant just because I don't want to see the Fiend get essentially cheapened and knocked down and Bray kind of go back into that place that he was a year ago before the Fiend debuted. which is he really had nothing to do. The character was lost and the character didn't have a direction. He found a direction. He found something that worked. It's been working for a year straight and counting. And he's essentially carried the company during the pandemic, along with like Seth Rollins and a few others, to kind of get them through. You know, he helped come up with the Funhouse match. He helped to come up with the Swamp match. He's kind of been flexing his creative muscles as of late. And I just feel like now it's like, okay, well, you know, Roman's back. Everything goes back to normal.
The thing when it comes to that is we assume Roman's getting the title, right? We assume that's the direction. But what if it's not the direction and it goes elsewhere, you know? What if Roman, like, there comes, you find something for Roman to do, you find a new target for him, whoever that may be, and it sort of distracts Roman from the title picture. Because Roman carrying the title right now, I don't know if that helps the business, changes the business. WrestleMania season, that's totally different, you know what I mean? Especially with the draft coming, you never know. Like, it just, I don't know. Maybe we find out there's another distraction piece, and maybe he gets involved with Retribution. Maybe he's the leader of Retribution.
They've been awfully quiet since he showed up.
Except for going after the Mysterios.
Yeah, well, you know. But they didn't factor into SummerSlam at all, so it could be that Roman is the leader, or Roman is behind it. We don't know. You're absolutely right in the sense that, like, the title could stay with Bray on Sunday. It's a three-way. Bray could easily pin Braun and get out with the title. And then that's a way to protect Roman, who's coming back. It just makes sense that they're going to put it on Roman because, one, he was supposed to get it originally. He was supposed to take it off of Goldberg and be the champion coming out of WrestleMania until COVID happened. And then everything changed.
And then he was supposed to feud with The Fiend.
And then he was supposed to feud with Bray. So it makes sense that they're now basically hitting the reset button on all of that. And they're like, okay, all right, well, Bray's the champion. We're going to have Bray and Roman feud. And if Roman continues to go after The Fiend after Payback and they do a build to it, that's fine. Because here's the thing. Bray has other personalities that he can march out if he needs to go against Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
As we've seen with Braun Strowman, he broke out the cult leader. He sent out the Funhouse character before The Fiend ever got to Braun. So you could very easily kind of repeat that as needed. I'm not saying break out the cult leader, but you could have Funhouse Bray go out there and wrestle Roman because Funhouse Bray has lost. And that's actually how... No, he didn't lose the title as Funhouse Bray, but he has lost as Funhouse Bray because Funhouse Bray is the weaker of the two characters. That's why he stays in the Funhouse.
He's the lover, not the fighter.
So it makes sense that if they have to take the title off of Bray, that it's not The Fiend that loses it. It's the Funhouse character. And then The Fiend has to go get it back.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you could have him break out the cult leader again where he goes after Roman Reigns, but it doesn't make sense for this tie-in unless you bring in the Shield stuff. But, I mean, there's a way to do it. I just, like I said, my fear is they're going to give it to Bray for a week and then they're going to take it off him and then he's going to get hurt momentum-wise because of it. And I don't want to see him take a hit to his momentum, especially since really he's just kind of come back after having a baby with his significant other and he did the feud with Braun to get to the title. Because
mm-hmm.
Bray was pretty much gone after WrestleMania and then he's come back in the recent last like month or so to pick back up where he left off. So it's like...
yeah.
It's tricky. It's hard.
That's what she said.
Well, that's what Bray said. Anyway... So, overall, this was a good SummerSlam. I wouldn't say this was, like, a fantastic, mind-blowing, great SummerSlam, but this was a really good SummerSlam.
It was the best WWE show in 5 months.
It felt like a pay-per-view again. It looked like a pay-per-view again. In comparison to everything that they've done at the PC, this was miles above anything they've done just from the look of it. The energy was just different. Everything about it was different because I think everybody was really genuinely excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, it just made it better. It just brought everything up a notch or two, because it was like the wrestlers were excited, the fans were excited, the announcers were excited, the production people were excited, even though they just hit buttons. But
they were hitting buttons on a big stage with they were hitting the pyro button over and over and over and over and over again.
So much pyro.
Flames. Lighting. Oh. All of it.
All of it. Also, one more thing. The Fiend entrance is sick.
It's sick.
It's so cool. Like, that's the one thing about this when they go back to normal that I'm going to miss is just the way that they have the screens and everything set up. The entrances, not just the Fiends, but the Fiends especially, so good. So, so good. I love everything about it. So with that, do you have any final comments, concerns, emotional outbursts?
Lindsay, we need to have a conversation.
Out?
About you.
Me?
About you.
What did I do?
You tied with an 8-ball.
Hey!
You went 3-5 with the 8-ball.
I did not do good on Pick'em this time.
No, this weekend was not your weekend.
But I feel like that's okay.
That's fine, but you tied with the 8-ball.
At least I didn't lose to it like I did on NXT.
True. I went 6-2. The Magical Wheel of Fun went 5-3.
Not sure how the wheel went 5-3 since it agreed with me on a lot of stuff, but okay, whatever.
It picked Cruz, it picked Mandy, it picked Bray, it picked Asuka and McIntyre. You went Orton, Banks, Mysterio, and Andrade and Garza. So. Yeah, you got a couple.
I had a misstep. That's okay.
You made some missteps along the way, but that's okay. It happens. Unpredictability.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Sometimes. Not a bad thing.
Sometimes.
It's a good thing.
Smile. Gotta do a smile.
Do the Roman Reigns teeth smile, because he got his teeth fixed. Oh. And they were glowing.
Oh my god, were they glowing on the show on Sunday?
I don't mean to tease, I'm sorry, but...
The memes.
Your teeth look very nice, Roman. Very, very nice.
The memes.
Oh my god, the memes. The memes have been so good.
Between... Randy Orton starting the memes and everyone else picking up on it. WWE and Fox picked up on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Randy. Randy. That is a bad Randy.
It's a great Randy.
It's awesome. Like, it's great. But then WWE on Fox doing it. It's like, yo, come on. You're gonna make him regret his dental choices here. Just, can you not? Okay? Just leave him alone.
I mean, but if you're going to make him regret dental choices, I mean...
Because I'm pretty sure those dental choices can't be undone. No. I think those are either veneers or crowns. I'm not 100% sure. I don't think those are his natural teeth.
No. No.
I think he had them done. Which, there's no shame in that. There's absolutely no shame in getting your teeth prettied up. But now he has that $1 million smile. Ding. So with that, I think that does it for us. What do you think?
Yeah, that does it for us. You will see us again live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, as we're going to recap everything that goes down on NXT. We're going to talk all the news you can handle. It's back Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. You can check out everything we've done in the past week. That includes the Rack Extra Reviews PGA Tour 2K21. There's going to be another review coming up here in the very near future, and then probably another one after that. You can check out the Rack Extra Reviews NXT TakeOver, where the intern joined us. That's available. That's all the content we've brought to you so far. There was also the Rack Extra Review SmackDown Throwdown that we just randomly did on a Friday night. You can check that out.
Because I needed to scream about
Bray Wyatt.
Bray.
So, it's all available at RackRadioShow.com. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio. CBRadio.com, GrayTheGreatDebate.com. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio will have Payback Review. Monday night, it's a Raw Post Show at 11 p.m. Eastern. You can check out Four Night with Friends this Thursday night, right after the Rack, as it'll be Season 4 of Chapter 2, the Marvel season. Whatever that entails, we'll break it all down for you at twitch.tv/WTRLive, right after the Rack. Use creator code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. That's an hashtag ad, because we're a hashtag epic partner. You can also use your Amazon Prime account by linking it to your Twitch account, and that's called Prime Gaming. And you can support the channel for free by clicking that purple rectangular button at twitch.tv/WTRLive. At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LANSWRD. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to the Rack Extra Reviews SummerSlam Edition right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you back for the regular show on Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. So till then, bye!